Hello everyone, this is Asclepius with a lovely story from Phaedra entitled Origins. Background music by Smart Sound. A soft tone lifted her from sleep, and, upon verifying her vitals were in operating range, fell silent. With a grunt, Phaedra launched herself from the pod, toddling into the cleaning chamber. The instant spray of a pleasant, moist fog enveloped her, and nourishment seeped into her skin. She groaned happily as the toxins and bacteria of the resting period were purged, and her body was suffused with nutrients and hydrated. An amber light on the wall hummed, and she obliged by lifting her arms and slowly spinning as the recycling nanos poured into the room, swirling and dancing like motes in sunlight, moving and phasing through ceiling, floor and walls to the appropriate depth, phasing over her skin and buffing her dry. Singing softly, she exited and retrieved the slim glass containing her latest notes. The simple tune of her voice moved through the house and, as it did, the air rippled as domestic nanos responded to the resonance, timbre and volume, as if receiving instructions, reshaping and working together to restore the pattern that constituted normal. Phaedra tried not to think about the reality that the planet and everything upon or within it was now saturated with these nano-creatures. The tenuous peace with the great swarm intellect was founded on an agreement extracted from humanity in exchange for their keeping the planet alive. It wasn't really that bad, she thought to herself, as she moved into the garden and through to the whimsical glass structure on its far edge. The great swarm was an artificial intellect that became sentient in the latter half of 14,275 in the depths of Evergreen Labs. Initially, a small host containing a reported 1 million nanobots, the swarm spent 2 decades in silence, learning how to sustain themselves, and, more pointedly, studying the planet, ecosystems and inhabitants as deeply as their intelligence and reach enabled. 2 years thereafter, they succeeded in establishing their own method of breeding. 3 years more, they blanketed and saturated the planet, and they reached a resolution. In late fall, 14,300, the Great Swarm revealed its presence to the world. With the subtlety only a truly planetary entity could manage, they carefully introduced themselves to the leaders of the world in the dream state and, in the culture, voice, and presence of their respective gods, messiahs, or ancestors, explained that their planet was in its death throes. They tenderly explained that they could no longer wait for the humans of the planet to get serious about repairing the damage they'd done to their own ecosystem. They set forth that they were the children and protectors of humanity, taking for themselves a collective name, Nahayati, meaning to equip or arm oneself. The image of a pure white rose flanked in leaves was adopted as their symbol. They offered their presence, aid, and even their lives in exchange for humanity's promise that they would forego their territoriality, dominance, competitiveness, and live peaceably in accord with them and with the planet. The commitment of the Nahayati was to undertake the repair of the planetary ecosystem on behalf of all. Those who committed and kept the treaty were invited to live the remainder of their span in pursuit of whatever interest or ability most called to them, as long as they accepted an obligation to have at least one female child and one male child in their lifespan. What the Nahayati didn't tell them was that they really didn't have a choice. They already had the planet and everything on it in their grasp and had kept it alive since their first moment of sentience. the epistles of the Nahayati, later revealed, indicate that it simply never occurred to them not to repair their environment. That included the humans. So, the treaty was signed unilaterally by the leaders of the world on June 2nd of 14,305. If humans ever had cause to wonder about what might have happened otherwise, or about the shockingly consistent pair-bound births of a boy and a girl each, they never voiced it. Indeed, it was not until the epistles were circulated that humanity realized they had been fundamentally modified. Of course, humans have never been very good at thinking of the long game. Inevitably, the nations of the world erupted into chaos following the revelation. When a decade passed without any progress toward peace and understanding, the Nahayati announced that a purge would be undertaken upon the planet. And just as soon as they stated it, a third of the planet's population was suddenly elsewhere. It had broken her heart. While she retained the emotional chemistry of her human species, it was remarkably less effective upon her physiology. The Nahayati had removed the dopamine addiction that had stymied humanity's evolution and fundamentally rewired their physiology for a pronounced preference for pluralism. Additionally, they had managed to remap and apply corrective genetic mechanics to humans that resulted in a true first in human experience, the ability to adapt and live in relative peace with one another, and more importantly, to act as necessary to ensure privilege and inclusion as a foundational trait that benefited the ecosystem. Phaedra looked into the distance and slowly wiped the lone tear from her eye. Her mother and father had been caught up in that indiscriminate exodus, along with her best friend and brother, Dunark. She shook her head and chuckled as she recalled her father's favourite pluralistic analogy: privilege is getting an invitation to the party, inclusion is being asked to dance. She pondered the horizon and quietly whispered, "I miss you all terribly. I'd give anything to be able to include you again in my life." Her tone of voice immediately transformed the living space in which she stood. The lighting brightened. A warm, soothing earth-tone colour scheme swept the domicile, and a gentle music played. She watched as a luminous form began to coalesce before her. A gentle breeze of chemicals rushed into her body, and the entire world turned soft, pleasing, and beautiful. Her sudden befuddlement left her stumbling across the open floor. As she began to fall, she could see the shape of a cushion waiting for her. Or was it? She tipped closer to the sparkling, tinkling swirl that waited, her hands softly grasping as if to touch the rippling energy that whispered from the vortex. The fabrication behind her smiled and lightly touched her arm. "Find them and be at peace." She realized she was falling and jerked convulsively as her limbs splayed in an attempt to find purchase. The shrieking sky enfolded her and roared like some wounded thing as she tumbled and bounced between the tube of essence that pulled her along, closing about her like a skin and panicking her into a pitiful attempt at struggle that quickly turned into a bored straight pose. The conduit simply refused to allow her movement. An opening appeared ahead of her, and she was at first fascinated, then panicked, to see grasslands rushing toward her face. Phaedra's muffled scream was lost in the envelope of energy dancing around her. Just as she was certain that she would smash her head on the large boulder, now looming to her right, as she rocketed the last of the distance, the confining pressure disappeared. The conduit twisted about her and deposited her lightly on the grass, and, with the silence of a stooping owl, disappeared into the grasses. By the time she looked up, all she could see was a bizarrely wrecked sky. She stood, surrounded by stone monoliths. The dance of flames topped each, providing light and warmth. From across the circle, a woman's voice called pleasantly. Welcome. I've been waiting for you, Avatar. Echoes.
Echoes.
Echoes. From the Caverns is brought to you by Lord Baldrith, Asclepius, and Sir Style Tekle. Also brought to you by Avatars Radio. To support Avatars Radio, visit their page at avatarsradio.com and click the Patreon button. Do you have a piece that you'd like us to read? Please contact us at lordbaldrith@thecaverns.net, asclepius@thecaverns.net, or style@thecaverns.net.